All right. Well, we're going to get into to this message tonight, and been talking about the seas, the seven seas of history, right? And we talked about creation, and we talked about corruption, and we talked about the catastrophe, the flood and all. And then we began to talk about confusion, and last week we talked about the Tower of Babel. And so the title of the message tonight is Confusion, subtopic, Colored Skin and Cavemen. And so all of these things that we're talking about, these are topics that have been debated and been talked about, and atheists have used them as talking points to try to make the Word of God just look ridiculous and unbelievable. And so, you know, scientists, and I'm always amazed at this, scientists say some of the most ridiculous, outlandish things, and people just believe it because they're scientists. They're really smart people. They know. Who are we? We're the lowly people who can't figure anything out. And so if they say that, you know, the world has been around for 14 billion years, we should just believe it, I guess, right? And in fact, we'll just make it a part of our curriculum in every school in America, and we'll teach it to our children so that they grow up believing all this garbage. And so the truth of the matter is that anybody who actually does take the time to examine the Word of God and to see what it says and then take from that worldview, from that foundation, begin to look at scientific discoveries and all the things that we do know about the world, it doesn't take a genius to figure out the Bible's right about all of it. And so that's our whole purpose in all of this that we're talking about. And so after Babel, which, you know, we believe was around the time of the Ice Age. The Ice Age actually lasted for, you know, hundreds of years. It was a real event, really did happen. And so after Babel, people began to spread throughout the world, like we talked about last week. And after the judgment of the flood, about 4,300 years ago, only Noah and his family remained. I believe that. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. Wasn't a local flood. We know it was a global flood. And so the Bible tells us that from Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the world was repopulated. In fact, God told them, one of the things he told them to do was, I want you to go, and now I want you to repopulate. I want you to go fill the earth. The same thing he told Adam and Eve when he put them in the garden. And now he's got actually a few more people to get that done. And then instead of going and filling the earth, they decided they were going to do it their way. They all clumped up into one clump and decided to build a tower called the Tower of Babel. You know, that they were deciding to do their own thing. And I believe that Nimrod, who was their leader, actually his intention was to actually be worshipped as a god himself. Let's start in Genesis chapter 9, verse 18 and 19. It says, the sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah, and from these the people of the whole earth were dispersed. So you think about that. I was thinking about this today. With all the wars and stuff going on and all the people that hate each other around the world, with all of the stuff that's going on, you know, not only did we come from Adam and Eve, all of us, but we also all came from this one family, Noah's family. And yet, we can hate other people because they live in another country, or they look different than us, or they speak a different language, so on and so forth. And so, you know, due to man's disobedience, God's judgment came once again at the Tower of Babel. He confused their language, and he caused them to disperse. So in Genesis 11, 7 and 8, come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. So according to God's word, again, we're all related, every single one of us. You know, that person that really just gets on your last nerve, that you can't stand, that's one of your relatives. I mean, and you got some of the same genes they got. So before Christ, we were all sinners, every one of us, in need of a Savior. The scripture affirms that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so this should convince us that God's plan was to promote unity among the human race. God's intention was never all of the wars and all of that kind of stuff. Now, there were times when God had to tell his people to go and have war with other people, so on and so forth. There were times when he had to do that. But it's not what God wanted to do. He would have much rather there be unity among the human race. So not an attitude of prejudice or racism, which is actually, by the way, and this is what I don't get, because most evolutionists and atheists, politically speaking, typically vote for a certain party that claims to be for certain people, yet they're the most racist people in America. And it's crazy to me that people can do that. I mean, for instance, most Jewish people in America are in the party that starts with a D. Yet the party that starts with a D is the most anti-Semitic and anti-Israel party. All right? So I don't understand that. So if I'm Jewish, I'm not going to be part of a political party that wants to give my land over, our homeland over, to crazy people, right? Anyway, I don't want to get into politics, but my point is that God never wanted us to have an attitude of prejudice or racism. And prejudice and racism is absolutely stupid. It's just stupid. That's my people. That's our relatives. And so the idea of evolution actually is the root of racism. And you're going to see that here in a little bit. But Jesus instructed us to love your neighbor as yourself. Remember in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On those two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. The question we've got to answer is, who is our neighbor? And the truth of the matter is, all humanity is our neighbor. The people in Iraq, the people in Iran, the people in Saudi Arabia, the people across Africa, the Russians are our neighbors, right? All people, because we're all part of the same family and all part of the same race, the human race. So God tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on outward appearance. But what does it say about God? But the Lord looks on the heart. So love is God's intention. So we should avoid judging others because of their outward appearance. And so we should avoid judging people because of their ethnic features or even their disabilities. So this is a biblical principle that we must model, that we must teach our children from an early age. And here's the principle. We are one race, the human race. I was filling out an application one time. And you know how they have that questionnaire and they want to know what race you are? I wrote human, because there's only one race. We may have some differences. There may be some pigment differences and so on and so forth. But we have one race, the human race. The Bible doesn't talk about other races. All of that came out of evolutionary thought. So our recognition of this fact will help to eliminate the prejudice and the racism that permeates much of our culture today. So as we saw last week, it's because of what happened at Babel that the world doesn't have a common language. And we know, of over 6,900 spoken languages in the world today, yet it's likely that fewer than 100 languages emerged from the Tower of Babel when God instantaneously confused the language. So, and I find it interesting too, someone asked, well, where did the languages come from? Well, obviously, God taught them the languages. He's God. He can do that, right? So they all spoke one language. Instantly, God taught them the languages. however many it was. And we believe that somewhere around 100, a little bit under 100. Because there were, that we know of, somewhere in around 78 family types listed at the Tower of Babel, but there were a few more that were not listed. So that actually comes together perfectly that there are about 100 root languages in the world. And so these root languages, of course, would have changed rapidly as they borrowed from other languages, developed new terms and phrases, lost words. I mean, just think about the English language. Think about the English language and how we borrow certain terms and certain words from other languages. We have certain slang words and things like that. So languages change over time. The reason we have modern translations of the Bible is because languages change over time. So if you read the King James Bible, nothing wrong with it, but if you read it, there are certain words used in the King James that we don't use today. And so it can be confusing to people sometimes whenever they read those words. They think it's saying one thing, but it's really saying something else. So, which is one of the reasons why I like to use a modern translation. So the biblical account of Babel occurred just as it is recorded. People of one common language developed into people of thousands of languages because of their disobedience and their pride. The most controversy surrounding the Tower of Babel arises around the idea that we are all one race, the human race. Many people simply do not believe that, because the basis of that truth is the fact that the Tower of Babel happened, and they would like to believe that that was not the case. In fact, they would like to believe that the flood never happened and all of these things that the Bible says. So because of major differences in appearance like skin color and hair and eye shape, because those things exist among different people groups, many people refuse to believe the biblical truth that we are all one race. And that sets people up for racism. It sets people up to think that certain skin color people are more advanced than other skin color people, or certain head shapes and so on and so forth, facial features are more advanced than others. Talk about racism. That's racism. Where did the so-called races come from? Well, the Bible refers to all of us as being from as one man. Let's look at that scripture. Acts chapter 17, verse 26. This is the ESV. It says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." And then we see it in the King James. It says it a little different. It says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings." It's interesting here, not just that he made us of one man or of one blood, but it actually says that he predetermined the boundaries. God literally predetermined who was going to live in Japan and who was going to live, you know, in Korea, and who was going to live in Africa and Russia and China and America. And he predetermined where we would be. I can't help but be thankful that he predetermined that I live in America, because we really have been extremely blessed. So God makes it abundantly clear that all humans are related, that we're all descended from the first man, Adam, who was created in the image of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45, "Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." And then Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 27, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." I love the fact that Jesus himself reaffirmed that in the New Testament, that God made male and female. It was he and she. There were no shims, right? So what does the phrase one man or one blood refer to? Well, blood, sometimes symbolic for life throughout the Bible. This phrase is intended to show the common relationship being of one blood of all humans making up all nations on the face of the earth. So today we use the term blood relative, right? Anybody know what I'm talking about? We know what that means, that there's actually a connection by blood to refer to those that we are directly related to within our families rather than by marriage or adoption, right? So when we talk about a relative, we say, we're related to them through marriage, or we're related to them through blood. Or if there's an adoption, that this is my adopted brother or whatever. Some people use that language. But we understand what it means to be a blood relative. But the truth of the matter is, even if it is related by marriage, or even if it is related by adoption, that's still your blood relative, because we all came from one blood. Amen? And so a bloodline is a family lineage. So again, all mankind can be tracked back to Adam, and then again can be tracked all the way back to Noah and his family. So since skin color is such an obvious difference, let's look at that for a moment. And I know I'm giving you just a lot of stuff, may sound a little dry, but this is stuff that most people are never going to hear. They're never going to be taught. They're only going to know what they've been taught in the school system. The truth is, we all have the same basic skin pigment. It's called melanin. Some have more, some have less. Okay? Lots of pigment typically is referred to as black. Little pigment typically is referred to as white. But we are really all a combination of these two pigments, black and white, creating differing shades of one basic color, and that's brown. The truth of the matter is, there are no truly black people, and there are no truly white people. We're all just different shades of brown. Some really light brown, some darker brown, right? But it's all just different shades of brown. I remember I moved to North Carolina many years ago, and I had been out in the sun a lot, summertime and all that, and I rode a motorcycle, so I was always in the sun. And I moved over there, and I got a job. I went to go help my pastor's son, who was planning a church there, who was a pastor, planning a church there. And I went over, he called for me to go and help him over there. And when I got there, I got a job, and it was in this little factory where they were making dumplings, And most of the ladies in there were, we'll say it this way, they were darker brown than me. But one of them was looking for a man. And so she came up to me because they were all excited. I came walking in. I was the only man in the whole place. And so she came up and she goes, are you black or white? I said, well, I think I'm white. I think she goes, I don't know. You look kind of black to me. And I said, well, I have to tell you, that's the first time I've heard that one, but whatever. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. And then she told me that in that area, if you're not just white, you just considered black. I said, well, if you're Hispanic, does that mean you're black? She says, yep, Mexicans are black. I said, okay, well, all right. Just thought that was interesting. So the study of DNA and genetic makeup conducted by the Human Genome Project supports the biblical teaching. Now, this is a secular project, and it supports the biblical teaching that there is only one biological race of humans. And the study determined that the differences in us that we perceive as so dramatic are a result of really only a small fraction of our genes. So, in other words, we are all extremely similar in our genetic makeup. And what about those things that make us look different? Well, they're very insignificant when we put everything into perspective. Scientists today agree that, again, there's really only one biological race of humans. They're still teaching, not as a theory, but really as a fact, that there was this evolution of man that went through, you know, eventually becoming, you know, coming from the monkey all the way up. And this is what they really believe. Now, you talk about racist. Evolutionary theory is the most racist thing on the planet because it believes that as man evolves and gets more and more superior, that they get lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter skin. I mean, you look at the textbooks. You go look at the textbooks. I remember seeing the textbooks and the pictures that showed the monkey, you know, on up to the, you know, the Neanderthal and all of this kind of stuff on up to ultimately the white man. Why would they teach that in school? And what gets me is most of the schools and most of the universities are run by liberals. I don't get it. So genetics have found that if we take any two people from anywhere in the world, the basic genetic difference between these two people would typically be around 0.2%, even if they came from the same people group. Racial characteristics account for only about 6%. Now hear me, 6% of the 0.2%. of what we call racial characteristics, difference in the way we look, that how we divide in races. That means that the so-called racial genetic variation between human beings of different race is only 0.012%. We're not normally taught that. So if you take two of the most different people in the world, two extremes as far as in humanity, the most that they could possibly be different genetically is 0.012%. And yet we hate people because they look different than us. And can I tell you, I'm white, so I can come from a white side. I think I'm white anyway. I might be black. According to the world, I'm called white. Okay, but so for the Caucasian people, I can say, I know there's tons of racism. Every person who believes in evolution is a racist automatically. But can I tell you, every so-called black person and every stage of brown person, if you believe in evolution, whether you want to admit it or not, you're a racist. You can't help but be a racist. You can't believe that stuff that they teach and not be racist. So over time, there's been a mixing of traits. These traits became concentrated in certain areas and different people groups, just like we saw like with the dogs, with the different genes and so on and so forth, same with people. And so they became concentrated in certain areas, people groups or ethnicities, and those were established in certain areas of the world. And so over time, there has been a mixing of those traits. So it's kind of strange because the world pretty much got separated where people were not very much in contact with other people in other parts of the world, but because of the ability for people to travel now and the way the world has really come together, you know, it's like everybody got separated, began to look very, very different, speaking different languages, but now the world has been coming back together, and so there's been a blend of languages and a blend of skin colors and a blend of facial features and all these things as the world is becoming blended again. And so all can track their origin back to Babel, then to the Ark, and then ultimately to Adam and Eve. And contrary to our popular terms, no one, as we said, has white or black skin. The main color of our skin comes from a pigment called melanin, and the difference between my skin and someone's skin that may be darker or lighter than me is just simply the amount of melanin in my skin, period. And so we could describe the shades of skin as just very dark to very light. So what is melanin? Melanin is the main pigment that gives skin a dark or light shade. So individuals with darker skin have higher concentrations. The more melanin you have, the darker skin you have. And you know what? Here's the thing. Ain't nothing you can be proud of or ashamed of. It's what God has put in you. and you didn't arrive by accident. You didn't surprise him like you came forth out of the womb and God said, I didn't see that coming. Some basic genetics can help us understand why this is a reasonable conclusion. We know that skin color is based on the genes that we inherit from our parents. If your parents have light skin, you're likely to have light skin and vice versa. So if you have a parent with dark skin and the other one has light skin, well, you'll likely have a middle brown color. You would have genes for dark skin and for light skin. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If Adam and Eve were a middle brown color, which I believe they were, they could have passed the dark genes on to one child and the light genes on to another child. That's not hard to understand that. So this allows for a variety of skin colors within their children, a large variety, literally within one generation. If the dark-skinned descendants have children, they're going to be dark. If light-skinned parents have children and they're passing on those lighter genes, well, then their children are going to be light-skinned. And again, the biblical principle that must be understood, and what's so important about all of this, is that we are taught to love our neighbor as ourselves, period. There is no place for racism in the body of Christ at all. So to follow the Lord's example of disregarding that outward appearance and looking at the heart is what God calls us to do. So I want to show you a video, and I'm going to probably have to finish this message next week because I have a whole other subject. So we've been talking about the colored skin, but we still need to talk about the cavemen, and because that's a whole big misunderstanding that I've been taught, and I'm sure you have too if you went to a public school. So let's watch this video called Evolution and Racism.
I hear this one a lot. How can there be so many races in the world if we are all descendants of Adam and Eve? Well, check this out. First off, let's talk about the word race. Sometimes when people use the word, they mean supposed races of people who have evolved at different times, rates, and in different locations. That's not true. Of course, the word race is also a term we use to distinguish between groups with different physical traits, namely skin color. But are there really different races? Take a gander at Acts 17:26, where it is written that God, from one man, made every nation of men. It's clear then that the Bible teaches that there is one race, the human race. The Bible is also clear that all people on the earth are descendants of Adam and Eve who were created by God. Check Genesis 1:26 through 28. Easy enough. God created two people in his image, male and female, and told them to increase in number. So, Adam and Eve are mom and dad of the human race. Then, their children had children, and those children had children, and so on and so forth for many generations until, according to Genesis 6:9, the world's population was reduced to eight people who were protected inside an ark during a global flood. And those eight people later walked off the ark, and according to Genesis 9:19, from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Oh, wait a second. What do I mean scattered? Well, jump over to Genesis 11 and let's talk about an event known as the Tower of Babel. Basically, because of the sinful actions of the descendants of Noah, the Lord confused their language and scattered them from there over all the earth. That's pretty clear and concise. Okay, so we've got lots of people who were descendants of the eight folks who came off the ark, and now they have been scattered all over the earth. That explains that we are still one race and that different groups of people ended up in different locations. But how do we get a bunch of different colored people if we are all one race? Well, follow along. This, of course, is a simplified explanation, but the basic principles are true. We all have a pigment in our bodies called melanin, which, depending on different variables, produces different shades of the one main skin color we all possess. Several genes control the amount of melanin produced and thus the variability in the skin shade. In fact, it's easy for one couple to produce a wide range of skin shade variability in just one generation, as we'll see in just a moment. Time for a quick genetics lesson. DNA is the molecule of heredity that is passed from parents to children. A child inherits 23 chromosomes from each parent. Each chromosome pair contains hundreds of genes, which regulate the physical development of the child. However, to illustrate basic genetic principles pertaining to the topic, we'll just talk about two genes, the genes that control the production of melanin. So, let capital A and capital B symbolize versions of the gene that code for large amounts of melanin, while little a and little b code for small amounts. Got it? Easy. Check this out. Take a look at the upper left. Let's say dad contributes capital A, capital B genes, and mom contributes capital A, capital B genes as well. Together, they will produce a child with capital A, capital B, and capital B. This is a kid with a lot of melanin, thus he will have very dark skin. Easy to see. Here's the bigger point, though. Let's say dad contributes capital A, capital B, and mom contributes little a and little b. Well, the child's skin will be middle brown shade, the combination of capital A, little a, and capital B, little b, which, by the way, represents a majority of the world's population. Not only that, but if each parent is is capital A, capital B, little b. The combinations that could be produced in their children could result in a very wide range of skin shades in just one generation.
Ooh.
So, since Adam and Eve were the first people ever, it makes sense to conclude that God placed in them a combination of genes that could produce all different shades of skin we see. Those same combinations would be present in Noah and the seven other people who boarded the ark. And because God dispersed people at the Tower of Babel, he dispersed the population, thereby isolating gene pools in the different people groups. Over time, different cultures formed in different locations with certain features like skin shade becoming predominant. And here we are today. And since we all go back to Noah and his family, it makes sense that we are all different shades of brown. One race, multiple people groups, just like the Bible teaches. Simplified for sure, but enough said.
Yeah, but if we're all descended from Adam, where did all those different people groups and languages come from? Well, the evolutionary view is very racist. Now, it's not politically acceptable, it's not politically correct today to be racist, so most evolutionists are not personally racist, but the evolutionary view is inherently racist. And Darwin believed that the Australoids, the Aborigines, were the least evolved, the Negroids were more evolved, the Mongoloids were more evolved, and who was the most evolved? White Anglo-Saxons, like Charles Darwin. In his book, The Descent of Man, Darwin said, at some future period, not very distant as measured by centuries, the civilized races of man will almost certainly exterminate and replace the savage races throughout the world. At the same time, the anthropomorphous apes will no doubt be exterminated. The break between man and his nearest allies will then be wider, for it will intervene between man and a more civilized state, as we may hope, even than the Caucasian, and some ape as low as a baboon, instead of as now between the Negro or Australian Aborigine and the gorilla. Those kinds of statements are inherently racist and fuel racism. In fact, Stephen Jay Gould, the late professor of geology and paleontology at Harvard University, said, "Biological arguments for racism may have been common before 1850, but they increased by orders of magnitude following the acceptance of evolutionary theory." And some pretty horrendous things have been done by evolutionists, such as digging up the graves of Aborigines, even killing Aborigines, boiling their skeletons and shipping their parts back to Western museums. Even the diagrams about evolution are inherently racist. Look at this from Time Life Books in 1971. The skin gets darker, and the last creature here is very Caucasian. Here again, National Geographic, 1985. The skin gets lighter and more Caucasian. Or 2007. The man is a Caucasian. This is inherently racist. But the Bible is very clear. The God who made the world and all things in it, he made from one man every nation of mankind to dwell on the face of the earth. The Bible is absolutely clear. Every one of us in this room and every person in this world and every person who's ever lived is descended from Adam. But you know, we have racism in the church. People that don't like people that look different from them, which is a strange thing because every other person in the world doesn't look like me. So if I'm really going to be consistent, I should be racist against everyone, including my family. But of course, people aren't. Why is there racism in the church? Because people don't have a biblical understanding of where man came from and where the people groups and the language groups came from. But the Bible is crystal clear that Adam and Eve are the parents of the whole human race. They had many sons and daughters. Their descendants, Noah and his sons and wives, went on the ark. They came off the ark. They didn't spread out and fill the earth like they were commanded. They stayed and built a tower, and God confused their language and forced them apart, and that broke up the gene pool. And the Bible says in Genesis 10 that God divided them according to their families. The family is very important to God. So he didn't divide people away from their family, but he divided according to their families. And so people with the same language began to marry within their language group, and that concentrated genetics in certain ways that produce these different people groups. And that's where all the variety of skin color came from. So, speaking of skin color, we think there are lots of good genetic reasons to conclude that Adam and Eve were middle brown, not Caucasian, not really dark African colored skin, but middle brown, Middle Eastern, because that would give the right genetic combinations to produce very dark-skinned people and very light-skinned people. And in fact, Jewish tradition says that Adam and Eve had 32 kids, so they could have had a whole kaleidoscope of color right in the first generation. And you say, well, that's impossible. No. Look at this couple. A German married to a Ghanaian, and they had twins. One was dark and one was light. Or look at this couple. One of the twins is darker than the mom and dad. The other twin is lighter than the mom and dad. How did that happen? Well, mom and dad both had a black father and a white mother. So it's just a recombination of the genetic information. And so we're just one big family, the human family. And we all have the same skin color. It's just some of us have more color than others. But it's the same skin color. And it's all controlled by the genetics, beautifully.
You know, I've often said, because racism really at its core just simply comes from demonic inspiration. And so even if we didn't have different skin colors, we'd find something to be racist about. It would be the hair, or it would be the eye color, or it would be, you know, tall people versus short people or something. I mean, there would be some reason, because it's demonically inspired and the enemy wants human beings to hate other human beings instead of seeing them as our brothers and sisters and caring enough about them. And this is the ultimate thing, to bring the truth of the gospel so that they can be saved, so that we can spend eternity together in his presence. Because I know for me, when I really began to look at these things, you know, many years ago, I did not realize how much evolutionary thought had affected me by just being taught it as a little kid in elementary school. All right, so let me just say this. We, you know, the ultimate goal of all of this is simply to bring us back to what does the Bible say about all of these things. And my intention is I want to root out everything that was put in us that is not of the Word of God, not of the Scripture, because, again, going through this process with me, I didn't realize how much my thoughts were affected by, and I went to a Christian school from the eighth grade up and went to a Bible college and didn't realize how much my thoughts were affected from the root things that were put in me even as a young child. And so that stuff has to be rooted out because it's demonic. And so that's why we're really focusing on all this stuff right now. We've got to get back to the Bible. Amen? All right. Father, thank you for this opportunity, Father, to be here together. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. Thank you, Father, for these, Lord, these doctors, these professionals at Answers in Genesis, for all of the aids and all of the help, Lord, that they've put out to help us to understand these things. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to dwell even more as time goes by. Father, help us to dwell more on what your word has said. Lord, may this affect us and change us in ways. God, if there's any root of racism at all within us, anything, any kind of hatred that should not be there for our fellow human beings, God, any pride that should not be there because of our skin colors or whatever, God, I pray root that out of us and help us to love one another like your word has demanded we do. And we thank you for the privilege, again, of being called your child. Thank you for giving us life today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.